Hello, listeners.
Do your dance. It's your chance. It's the Space Jam. All right.
Kyle's busy singing Space Jam.
Yeah. Quad City DJs for life.
That's true.
If they ever came out with a Space Jam soundtrack on vinyl, I would buy the shit out of that.
I'm going to guess they never did. I guess that was probably because that was before vinyl became cool again.
Yeah.
That's too bad.
They probably will at some point because like the people that are buying vinyl are the people that grew up with Space Jam. So
that's a good point.
Yeah. Speaking of terrible things that just won't die.
Funk radio.
Today we're going to talk about... Touche, yeah. Peter. Touche. That hurt a little bit.
Probably one of the truest things we've ever said.
Yeah.
I mentioned your name. You're Kyle. But I didn't say my name. I'm Peter.
You're Peter. Peter speaking his truth.
That's true. Well, I don't know whether you're... I guess you will be speaking some kind of truth, but...
Yes.
I don't know.
Speaking truth to power.
With this particular topic, I don't want to say like Kyle's going to be preaching the truth of white power because that would sound bad.
You spoiled it, Peter. Yeah.
Well, I'm sure they saw the description or something.
That's true. Yeah, they probably clicked on this. White power number 9 will shock you. We should just title all of our podcasts like shitty BuzzFeed articles.
We should not.
Like, which Klansman are you? Take the quiz now. So yeah, today we're going to talk about Nazis and white power and how they're not good.
Yay,
I guess. So for those of you that were unaware, being a Nazi isn't really cool. We here at Funk Radio do not support Nazis or their hate speech or anything that they enjoy. We don't even like their music. We like the opposite of Nazi music. We like black people music.
God. Jeez. Yeah, so specifically with this, so I'm coming into, actually, probably much like the listeners, I'm coming into this not really knowing a whole lot about what the topic is today, so I'm curious what you have kind of built up for us.
Yeah, the whole spur of this topic was, obviously there's been bouts of Nazi stuff in the news in the last, half a year that may or may not be correlated to our current political climate. I'll leave that for you to judge.
Tell us on Facebook.
Please don't. Really don't. I don't want to be called like a cuck and stuff.
Post your political manifestos on our Facebook page.
Exactly. God. So, that being said, there's lots of Nazi stuff going on in the news lately, and it got me to thinking, like, hey, there's probably, like, Nazi music out there, so can you find this Nazi music just anywhere on the internet? Like, if I go on Spotify, can I, like, type in Nazi, and I get just a bunch of Nazi stuff? Well, thankfully, the answer for that is no. I tried.
Hopefully for the sake of research.
It wasn't for any... Yes, it was for the sake of research. It was not for pleasure. So, white power music, what is it exactly? It's basically any music that promotes white nationalism. The ironic thing is that it can encompass many different musical styles, including rock, country, experimental, rap, which I find hilarious, and folk music.
So it's not really... I've never really thought about this topic before, but I guess that makes sense that it's not tied to any one... style of music.
Yeah, like when I thought of white power music initially, I thought it was just all like screaming angry white power, like punk music.
Yeah, I guess white supremacy is more of a topic of musical expression versus a musical style.
Yeah, it's more the subject matter than the genre. Although it is outside of rap, it is kind of tied to very, I guess, white-centric genres the best way I can put them.
I guess you're right.
Funny thing, so ethnomusicologist, which sounds like the coolest freaking job in the world, by the way, ethnomusicologist Benjamin R. Tittlebaum, which I'm just imagining this guy in like a sweater vest and a pipe, argues that white power music, quote, can be defined by lyrics that demonize variously conceived non-whites and advocate racial pride and solidarity. Most often, however, insiders conceptualize white power music as the combination of those themes with pounding rhythms and a charging punk or metal-based accompaniment.
So very similar to what you were kind of assuming, style-wise.
Yes. And tying back into our episode about the various subgenres of metal, there is apparently a National Socialist black metal subgenre.
Huh. I don't think there's any white supremacist funk, though. I've never heard of that.
No,
certainly.
That's... I haven't either. Like, white supremacist R&B, yeah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't imagine. That's why I think rap, the fact that there's white supremacist rap is hilarious. I wouldn't imagine that white supremacists would want to emulate any genres that they perceived as to be started and or dominated by African Americans.
Yeah. So, yeah, I guess rap...
Which is what makes rap so hilarious.
I mean, rap, I think, has... I'm trying to think of the right word. I feel like
it's kind of transcended race.
Yeah, it has kind of homogenized itself generally in terms of race. Mm-hmm. So that one I can kind of see. Other ones, like, you know, if you're thinking like funk or R&B, soul, jazz, even, like, that's not the kind of stuff I would really think of to be having this sort of subject matter. And it sounds like that's not really the case anyway.
Mm-hmm. So here on Funk Radio, as we said before, we don't like Nazis. I don't really want to play any clips of any of this music to give examples of, because, to be honest, that's only kind of giving them a platform,
yeah,
which is what they
want. I agree.
Likewise, we're going to try and avoid mentioning the names of any specific bands, because we don't want to recognize their existence and we don't want people to go Googling them because of us.
That's true. Hey, I heard about you on Funk Radio.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. In reality, okay. the way I see a lot of these Nazi groups, they're like bratty little kids, and any attention they're given is good attention to them.
Mm.
So we don't want to give them really any attention outside of just talking about how they're kind of being pushed to the fringes of the internet, which they always kind of have been. But anyways, so in lieu of playing Nazi music, I actually went and dug up some anti-Nazi music by such artists as Billy Bragg, the Dead Kennedys, and Woody Guthrie, of all people, which is hilarious. I think he honestly wrote this when the Nazis were actually being fought in the 40s.
Mm.
So we're going to play three songs. I'll just play clips of each of them in a row. The first one is by Billy Bragg, and it's called All You Fascists.
All you fascists about to lose. You fascists about to lose. You fascists about to lose. You're about to lose. You fascists about to lose.
The second one is by the punk band The Dead Kennedys, and the title is Nazi Punks Fuck Off. And the third one is by Woody Guthrie, which, again, Woody Guthrie was basically around in the 40s, so I'm pretty sure this was written during World War II, which makes it all the more poignant.
Mm.
And his song is called Tear the Fascists Down.
I can see all the people in this whole wide world. That's a union that'll tear the fascists down, down, down. That's a union that'll tear the fascists down. When I think of the men and the ships going down.
So those are some pretty interesting clips. Each one is kind of very different from the others, too.
Yeah, no, they're three very distinct genres.
Yeah, in the same way, I guess, that white power music transcends genres, it seems like the pushback of it is also kind of just everybody as well.
Yeah. And the comforting thing is, I guarantee if you stack up the list of Nazi bands with the list of, like, artists that have written anti-Nazi songs, I'm pretty sure it's lopsided towards anti-Nazis.
Mm-hmm. What did you think about those specific songs?
I think they're good. I'm aware of the Dead Kennedys song prior, because the Dead Kennedys are
awesome. That was a pretty funny
one. Yeah. Billy Bragg is pretty interesting.
It's a catchy song.
I mean, he's kind of in that... Yeah. I mean, it's with Wilco, and Wilco's kind of weird. They're like punk, but they're also like alternative.
Mm.
But that's interesting as well. The Woody Guthrie one had me pretty interested, because, like I said, Woody Guthrie... Let me Google this really quick.
Kind of more old-timey folk music.
Oh, yeah. It's, like, super old-timey. It says Woody Guthrie was... Jeez, he died in 1967. Holy shit.
Oh.
I wasn't that old, actually. Oh, wow. His songs include social justice songs such as This Land Is Your Land. Mm. Yeah, I would almost put him more in the folk category than something like country music, which I think a lot of people think he is. Mm. Yeah, he was very active in the 40s and early 50s. So yeah, I mean, the sadness of the fact that you have this artist singing about taking down the original Nazis in Germany in the 40s, and yet we're still having to fight this ideology 70 years later is really kind of sad.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that's a lot of things people pointed out, but like, you know, you see these Nazi rallies on the news and stuff. It's like, there's not that many World War II veterans left, but like of the ones that are, like, what must they think when they see that?
Yeah. So moving on from that, I guess more or less the meat of this episode is kind of talking about, I guess, how the internet has kind of pushed it away.
Yeah, the internet, especially after a lot of these rallies that have happened in the last 6 months, there are a lot of streaming companies or music companies are kind of doing their due diligence in scrubbing a lot of this kind of music off the internet or off of their platforms, at least.
That's good.
Kudos to iTunes, actually, which I never thought I would say. They actually haven't had any, like, quote, white power music on iTunes since 2014. Back around that same time, the SPLC, which is the Southern Poverty Law Center, released a list of 54 racist bands, or I think it was like 100 racist bands, and they were showing, like, hey, these are the number of bands that you can find on these various sites. As of that time, I think it said 54 remained on Amazon, 37 were on Spotify.
And this was in 2014?
Yeah. So okay. This was back before, obviously, the recent political climate and the hubbub of all that. You know, back when we thought they didn't exist anymore, before they came out of the woodwork.
Right. So by now, most or possibly even all of them are gone.
Yeah, yeah.
Hopefully.
Especially after the Charlottesville attacks and or rally, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Places like Spotify, Pandora have all released statements basically saying, like, we're taking immediate action to get this off of our site. Spotify in particular said, quote, illegal content or material that favors hatred or incites violence against race, religion, sexuality, or the like is not tolerated by us. Spotify takes immediate action to remove any such material as soon as it has been brought to our attention. We are glad to have been alerted to this content and have already removed many of the bands identified today whilst urgently reviewing the remainder. Now, this information, just so I'm not plagiarizing, what spurred this a little bit, this whole topic, is an article that I stumbled upon on Pitchfork. And I think some of the journalists over there actually contacted some of these, I guess, streaming groups to ask them, like, hey, why are there still Nazi bands on your site?
Sounds like some of them are under review, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's just a matter of a lot of these sites kind of getting called to the carpet now that it's more, now that Nazis are more emboldened to basically be like, okay, you know, they can have their Nazi rallies, but we're not gonna let people listen to their Nazi music on our sites.
Right.
Likewise to Spotify, Pandora also said, quote, we take action to remove content of this nature from Pandora. We removed much of this content in 2014 and are in the process of removing additional material that's been flagged now. So the thing is, I'm sure it's like whack-a-mole, you know, once you take down one Nazi band, they just change their name and come up as a different band. Who knows?
Yeah.
The interesting thing about this article is specifically how, I guess, quiet the site YouTube has been in this whole hubbub.
Quiet in that they haven't taken much action?
They haven't seemed to take much action. Now, it's all user-based. It's not, you know, gone through any sort of screening. I mean, I shouldn't say it doesn't go through a screening process because there are algorithms to keep certain stuff off the site, like nudity. But for those of you that don't know, I think this was like, I don't remember when exactly this was, maybe this was like earlier in the year, they had this thing that a lot of YouTubers called like the adpocalypse, where a lot of white supremacist stuff was kind of shown to be on YouTube. A lot of people were just spouting their white supremacist ideas and hate, you know, into a webcam and just putting it up on YouTube for other people to hear. They got called out on that by a lot of different journalists. And a lot of famous YouTubers actually kind of got wrapped up in the hubbub, including the famous gaming YouTuber PewDiePie, because he made like a Hitler joke or something. The result of all that was that YouTube basically created an algorithm where if it detected anything that was remotely controversial, it would pull advertising revenue from any particular video, because a lot of advertisers after the, you know, hey, by the, you know, your site has a bunch of Nazis on it, a lot of advertisers were like, well, we're not going to advertise on YouTube anymore. So to court them back, they basically said, okay, any YouTube video that, you know, has cursing or talks about controversial things or has Nazi stuff in it, whatever, will be flagged and you can put it up, but you can't make money off of it and we won't put ads on it. And that's the thing. I mean, people are going to yell, well, oh, it's their freedom of, you know, it's their right to be able to say their opinion without repercussion. But it's at the same time, these are all internet companies, and these internet companies have, you know, a PR to maintain. And ultimately, because they're a company, they can choose to do with their content base what they want. If YouTube wants to just shut down tomorrow, they can.
When, yeah, exactly. Well, and, you know, when you're using a service like a, you know, a service like this or something else, or even something like Spotify, or, you know, putting your music in iTunes or something, like, there's always, you know, legal agreements to say, hey, if you want to use our platform, you have to abide by our rules. You know, you can't really apply the argument of free speech to anything, because by agreeing to their terms, then you're saying, okay, I'm giving up some freedoms in order to use this platform to, you know, broadcast my music or my speech or whatever. So I don't think there's really much to stand on in that argument.
That's the thing about Nazis, and which I find so ironic compared to the original Nazis. Yeah, the original Nazis and Hitler always wanted to eschew strength and dominance. However, like, these Nazis you see here at these rallies and stuff, they're constantly playing victim. Like, oh, we're being picked on by the liberal media. We're being picked on by minorities. You know, we should have, you know, we're just trying to protect white people and stuff and blah, blah, blah. It's like, God forbid if Hitler was alive today, he would probably think you're all just pathetic as fuck.
So as far as the music goes, we probably don't have numbers or data more recent than 2014 necessarily, but it sounds like at least as of a couple of years ago that these companies were already taking action to remove some of this stuff and had already done a lot. I mean, I'm like you said earlier, I'm sure more just pop up like whack-a-moles, but it's good to at least see that the big platforms are taking, you know, this into consideration and saying, hey, we're not going to allow this to be on here. Because really, I mean, that's, I mean, yeah, there is the PR aspect of it, just protecting their own reputations. But, you know, from a humanitarian and like sharing content perspective, which is really what these platforms are for, it's good that they're kind of getting rid of anything that incites hate speech or anything like that.
Or violence. Yeah.
Yeah.
It does seem like a lot of this Nazi music is kind of getting pushed off of the major platforms. So I'm sure it will never go completely away. People will pass it around like shitty mixtape cassettes or something.
Yeah, I'm sure there's some, for lack of a better term, like underground market of...
I almost thought you were going to say Underground Railroad. I'm like, Peter, don't do it.
No, no. I'm sure if you're kind of in that culture of white supremacy and everything, you know, not to say everybody knows everybody, but I'm sure there's enough crosstalk about, oh, hey, these bands are good about spreading our message and whatnot. So,
whatever. Now, one last thing that I forgot to mention earlier that I wanted to mention. Peter, have you ever seen the movie Green Room?
I don't think so, no.
Well, it's a movie that I highly recommend, and it actually kind of ties into our topic. It's an interesting movie. It's actually set in the Pacific Northwest outside of Portland, so it's your backyard, I guess. And it's sort of a horror film. It's more like a suspense film than a horror, I would argue. But it's about these punk band kids driving around the Pacific Northwest, and they get offered to do a gig in some small town outside of Portland, like I said. One of the band members is actually Anton Yelchin, that actor that played Chekhov in the new Star Trek movies that unfortunately just passed away.
Oh.
Recently. He's the guy that got, like, ran over by his car in, like, some freak accident.
Shit.
Yeah, it was really sad. So it's got him, and it's got Patrick Stewart, which is freaking hilarious. But he's in this punk band, and they get invited to play at a gig. Unbeknownst to them, the gig is basically like a neo-Nazi meeting ground. And they realize this once they get there, and when they get on stage, as a joke, they play Nazi Punks Fuck Off by the Dead Kennedys.
Interesting.
And piss the hell out of everybody there, pretty much. Then it turns into this whole suspense where, like, someone's murdered and blah, blah, blah. I won't get into all the details because it's kind of a suspense movie. It's really good. It kind of is a good eye-opener into, like, you know, what white supremacy culture is in rural America. Cause that's the scary thing, too, is, I mean, you know, a lot of people think, oh, I don't know Nazis, none of my friends are Nazis, blah, blah, blah. And really, you know, yeah, there's probably not a shit ton of them out there, but this kind of stuff breeds in, like, it doesn't fester in, like, metropolitan areas where you're exposed to a lot of different cultures and people. It festers in these small towns, which are, you know, 99% white. And these small towns vilify the big cities as, like, you know, oh, this is where all the evil people live. So yeah, that's all I got on Nazis.
If, I don't know what you should tell us on Facebook in regards to this topic.
Tell us how much you hate Nazis.
Sure.
And if you love Nazis, please unsubscribe.
But if you hate Nazis, isn't that, if they're telling us about hating Nazis, isn't that hate speech?
No.
Doesn't that make them the Nazis?
I have an amazing quote for that, who, unfortunately, I don't remember. I'm going to Google this really quick.
Okay.
It's called The Paradox of Tolerance. It basically says that tolerance requires us to, if tolerance requires us to tolerate intolerance, it would ultimately lead to the destruction of tolerance. Because a tolerant person cannot, by principle, speak out about that which an intolerant person is doing. So basically, like, to have a truly tolerant society, you have to be intolerant of intolerance.
That makes sense, actually. So, you are allowed to hate Nazis, listeners.
Yeah, I think that's attributed to Karl Popper, but I might be wrong. Yes, philosopher Karl Popper defined the paradox in 1945, ironically. So there you go. Basically, we have to hate Nazis, because if we don't, the Nazis win.
That makes sense. And I think that's a pretty good message to end on.
Mm-hmm.
So you can say something to us on Facebook at facebook.com/getyourfunk. Or if you don't want to say anything and you'd rather just listen to other topics that we've done on this show, you can go to getyourfunk.com. And we have our entire catalog of episodes there.
Yay.
Bye.
Bye, listeners. We love you.
Unless you're Nazis.